Some of you may remember Ed Rowell. Ed was a man who pastored in four different states, but he came to Macon to help start Mercer University Press, to be one of its first editors, and he would often preach in the community. Well, he was the interim pastor for Porterfield Baptist Church right before I was called to go there. And one day he was talking to the church secretary, and she said, "Well, Pastor, what's going to be the title for your sermon this Sunday?" And you know, if you know anything about Ed, you know he was a flippant and a humorous guy. And he said, "Oh, hodgepodge." Well, unfortunately, he never got back with her. And so Sunday morning in the bulletin, it was printed, "What is the sermon? Hodgepodge." She was mortified, but he laughed. For a message for an event like this, for a worship service like this on homecoming, although my sermon is titled A Perfect Church or The Perfect Church, there's a sense in which I would also like to add the addendum hodgepodge. Because there are a couple of things that need to be part of a service like this. There are greetings, to be certain. There are occasionally stories from what has happened in our church. And of course, there's hopefully a word that God may have for us all today. So this is hodgepodge, if you will. It was about 3 days ago, three nights ago to be more exact. In the middle of the night, I had a dream that Jeff Allred and I, Jeff, of course, being the minister of music when I was here those last 5 years, and he and I were getting ready for church, and the sanctuary was totally filled. It was wonderful. And so it got me thinking about Jeff, because I had not spoke to him in a number of years, so I called him up and learned about what was going on, and Catherine's getting married in, you know, in the end of this year, in the month of November. That's good news. Raleigh's a long way to go, though. But it's good to hear from him. But he said, "Please convey to the family there my love and gratitude for everything that they meant." And then it was only 2 days ago that Ben Haygood called me up. Ben and Glenda were hoping to come, but he got under the weather. In fact, he tested once positive for COVID, so I encouraged him. I told him I didn't really want to see him. I hope you don't mind. Now, it was probably a false positive, but hey, let's not take any chances like this. But he and Glenda wanted to express their appreciation for this church and for the relationships with you that he created. And he also asked that I purchase, because he saw it on the website apparently, that y'all were selling some of the copies of the church, color copies that were made by famous local artists. So whoever's doing that, please make sure I get one for Ben, please. Yes, we got one coming. All right. And I must tell you, before I go on, it's a strange but wonderful feeling. I mean, do you realize I would have paid y'all to let me come preach today? There was an amen on that one. I think we got something going. You know, you can't fully appreciate it. In your own way, you know it. But you know, I was present at the hospital when Todd and Mary Kay's children were born. I baptized some of these adults that are now married. I did child dedications for some of these folks, and I knew a number of the adults' children that have moved away. And there are just so many connections that I have been privileged to have, that to come back is really to come home. And to reconnect with the stories because you made a difference in my life. And without this church and without Ben Haygood, I wouldn't have married that girl right down there. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for being my family. Now, a lot of you don't really know me, and that's all right. You haven't missed a whole lot for the most part of it, but I want you to know that this church has a permanent place within my heart and the people as well, because I have been present at so many life-transforming events for so many people. The world is too much with us. Getting and spending, we lay waste our lives. We lay waste our powers. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon. A poem by William Wordsworth in the 19th century. He was a man who was lamenting the loss of mystery. I'm going to read the text in a moment, and I want you to pay very close attention to that idea. But he was lamenting the loss of a sense of wonder and mystery in life. Now, of course, he found it so often through the world of nature. But in reality, when worship takes place in its truest forms, we don't just feel better about ourselves and our lives. There is a connection we make with God, a glimmer, an awareness of His presence that rivets our attention and that transforms us even. So hear this text from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So then those who had received Peter's word were baptized. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who believed were together and had everything in common. And they even sold their property and possessions and shared with each other as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, strange things happen to me. You don't believe it? Just ask my wife. Strange thing. I mean, when I was here, it was 25 minutes to the start of prayer service one Wednesday. A man comes in who I'd never seen before, and he said, Pastor, I locked my keys in the car down at Kroger, where Kroger used to be, and I need $40 to pay for a man to unlock it. Well, I dealt with a lot of requests like that, and so I said, well, listen, hop in my truck, and I will go down to Kroger, and I will pay that man to open your car up. So he and I got in my truck. It was parked out the back. We zoomed down to Kroger, and we pulled in front of the entrance to Kroger. And I said, well, where's your car? He said, well, let me out here. I need to go in and call the man. I said, okay. I half expected never to see him again. But after about 45 seconds, he came back out. He got back in the truck, and I said, well, where's your car? And he said, it's around here. So I pulled around. He said, "Is that your car?" He said, "That's my car." So we pulled right next to the car, and I turned my truck on. I promise you, it was not 15 seconds before a woman came out, unlocked the car door, got in, and drove it off. I promise. How many of you remember that story, just out of curiosity? I promise. And I said to that man, "Look, she's stealing your car." Well, guess what I was preaching on that night? Grace. You talk about being caught in a bind. Well, he just started boo-hooing over there. I'm not stretching it. He was. And something in my heart just said, "Bill, you can't just let the story end like that." So I chose to pull $40 out of my wallet and give it to him. And I encouraged him to think about God and God's care for him. He got out, and I came back and had an illustration for prayer service that evening. Now, I don't know what he did with that $40. Quite honestly, I do care, but it's not important. Because I did what I believed the Holy Spirit was summoning me to do. I think God had a lesson for me that night before I preached, if you will. And I don't know if there was ever a change, but then change is not really my business, is it? Change is when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of somebody and redirects their attention to where they see things and begin a new journey. Well, that's good. That's good. Strange things happen to me. Must have been about 2 years ago now. We moved down to St. Mary's. Kingsland's right there with us. Had some health problems that I personally needed to work through, many of you know. Anyway, I went to Publix one day to get a few groceries. I was getting hungry. Came out. This was while we were still wearing face masks, generally. Came out and had my groceries, and there was a lady in front of me going to her beautiful Cadillac. She was all dolled up, decked out. Well, I walked over to my truck and opened the door, and she walked over and she put her cart and groceries into her car, and then she walked up to me and she says, "Do you believe in God?" Well, you know, there's a stock answer I give to questions like that because, you know, I just want people to politely go on their ways. And so I said, "Well, yes, I do. I'm a retired preacher." And she looked at me as seriously as she could, and she says, she pointed at my face and she said, "Well, that doesn't indicate you're a believer." Folks, y'all know me to be handsome and wonderful, right? And I'm thinking, I don't look that bad, do I? But then she clarified what she was offended at. She was offended that I was wearing a mask. And she said, "If you truly believed in God, you would know that you don't have any need to worry about COVID. Your God is stronger than any disease." Well, you'd probably don't know me as well as you think, because there's a couple of things that would tick me off a little bit, and I'll say something back to you. Normally, you know, since I have retired, I'm not as patient as I used to be. So I looked at her and said, "Well, ma'am, you mean to tell me that everybody who has illness and problems and sickness and can't recover, that they don't believe in God?" Well, at this moment, she started speaking in tongues. Asked my wife. She started speaking in tongues, and she started to admonish me again. And when I continued this conversation here in the middle of Publix parking lot, she started, I can't do it the way she did it because it would burst the microphones, but she was going, la, 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 la. I mean, as loud as she could, because she was trying to drown me out. Well, we went, had a few more words, and under her breath, she started trying to cast demons out of me. You may think she didn't succeed. I don't know. But finally, and the point came in our, and I, you know, when she started doing this loud stuff, I looked around the parking lot to see if the police were running to protect her. I mean, you wonder. And then finally, she did that again with that shrill, and she walked away back to her car. Now, as I have thought about that experience over the last 2 years, the thing that interests and amazes me about it is here is a woman who absolutely knew one thing for sure, that if you believed and trusted in God, you would not have any illnesses that would wear you down. God would always heal you. And I wish that were true too. I had a member when I was at First Baptist Griffin who, when she found out that I had some heart issues, she said, just believe and he'll heal you. Well, you know, that sounds good. That sounds spiritual. That sounds like you're really filled with faith, but really you're filled a little bit with presumption. Can God heal? Yes. Does he heal? Yes. Does he always heal? You know, God wants us to experience the same kind of things that everybody else experiences, so that we will have a witness to people. When they go through their trials, we can tell them where we found strength, peace, life, hope. God was with me when I went down into the pits and he drew me out again. He was with me. And that's the important part. And this woman, well, she just knew. She just knew. She believed with all her heart. I was challenging her faith. I was denying her faith. And I, in some ways, was a representative of something that made her afraid. She was afraid because I didn't believe exactly what she believed. And so instead of engaging and talking and having any kind of meaningful relationship, she brushed the sand off her sandals, walked away, filled her mind with her own thoughts, and did not grow when there was an opportunity to hear something maybe she didn't really want to hear. Well, odd things happened to me. One last thing. Last night, you know, I guess I've been thinking about this message for a long time. You know, I dreamed about Jeff. Been thinking about y'all, what it means to come back and be with family again. But last night, another peculiar dream. This time, as I was laying there on the bed, I'm sure I was asleep, but there was this voice that said, take and read. And something like a sheet of paper came down, and I read everything that it was in it, and I thought it was important for me. And maybe I think it's important for you as well. So after a while, I kind of became more alert and turned on a light and began to try to record the things that I read. So please bear with me as I share with you the words that were shared with me. My dearest children, stop being so consumed by all the news and trouble in your world. You were never created to bear all the problems of this world. There are so many tragic things that are causing divisions in your world. Humankind is not yet mature enough to solve the problems which are ravaging the world that I created to be good. Aren't you wise enough by now to know that whatever you fill your mind with controls you? If you focus your mind on all that news, information, and internet material, you will lose your ability to discern the mind of my beloved Son, Jesus. When you open your mind to all the political drivel in your world, you are replacing the trust in my hand with countless fears that quench my spirit. Don't you know that my work has never coincided with human politics? I choose to work quietly through my people, changing one soul at a time, so you can be light and darkness and become people whose very love and goodness preserve like salt the world from further decay and descent into the worst of sorrows. Don't get so bent out of shape when it comes to different beliefs. Sometimes I wonder if people have even read the Bible. My servant Paul told you that even the best of you see me and my will for humanity like seeing through a darkened glass. It's fuzzy because you are called to live by faith, not by full knowledge and sight. Every one of you are on your own journeys, and often your neighbor is on his own journey. You are all different at different places, needing so many different things. Didn't Paul go on to write that you could have all knowledge, you could work miracles, you could speak in angelic tongues, yet if you do not love people around you, your knowledge, your life is worthless? I never said to you that you will know my people because you will all agree. God knows the early church didn't. I said to you that people will know my children because they will love one another. They will care. They will create community. My kingdom is not a building or an institution. It is people simply living together to live according to the pattern of my Son. Organizations, no matter how big or impressive, there is only one essential to my kingdom. What is essential is being a person who lives without the fears that dominate your world. Don't you remember my Son telling you, in this world you will have tribulation? Don't allow the sad struggles of humanity to shake your faith. Remember, I also promised to be with you throughout your life and beyond. Finally, Enough with the sky is falling chatter where you wring your hands at the changes to life and culture that you have seen in your lifetime. Enough. There are many more good people than bad. It is the bad, however, that gets all the press, that gets all the attention. If you truly believe that I can be trusted, if you truly believe I can be trusted, you will love and listen to all these strange people out there who look different from you. Like it or not, you will soon be handing your world over to a generation that you are not yet certain is ready to handle the things that need to be handled. But the same was true with your parents when they had to handle and hand their world over to you. They weren't too sure about you either. The world will be different than what you were comfortable with. But I will be with you as I have been with your parents. So will I be with your children and your grandchildren. I will guide them. I will love them. I will teach them. My kingdom will continue because I will draw them to me with the same spirit that I have drawn you. Sometimes when we gather and worship, we may feel comforted and full. But have we heard a word that inspires us to redirect our attention? When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Jesus told him he had to be born again. But he also said to him that a person who is born again is like the Spirit comes from somewhere and goes somewhere else, so is the man who is born of the Spirit. You don't always understand exactly what they're doing, but you know that the Holy Spirit is the one who is shaping their journey. And by the way, the word "you must be born again," it is in a tense which means you must be born again and again and again and again until you finally get it. In other words, just once for all is just not enough. We need to change each day, even as we get older. There are things we need to hear and see because what is being shaped is our character, is our spirit, is our inner life. That is what is being shaped. And we need that sense of mystery to believe that God has a word for us and our journey. And that being a Christian in this season of life, I'm going to tell you, that you may or may not agree, but just put this in your mind and think about it. I am not totally certain that Jesus ever envisioned the church to be the kind of organizational structure that it is today. In the early church, it was people who had been changed and transformed and went out into the world, and they changed their world up until Christianity became legal, to be honest with you. And then legal councils, or these church councils, developed that began developing all these points of theology that you had to adhere to. Otherwise, you were a heretic. And so what began as a thirst and a quest of the Holy Spirit then began to be shaped by humanity to create the kinds of organizations that become critical of those who do not measure up. And so what does that mean for us? It means we've got to get back to the basics of life, a love that is true, a faith that is life. We must pause and rediscover those moments that have been quenched by the hurriedness of life. We've all got so much on our plate, we can't find the silent moments to process our life anymore. The silent moments to ponder, well, God, what does this mean for me? What do you really want from me? And it's not like he's going to ask you to go somewhere, become a street evangelist. I don't think that's exactly what it means. I think it means rather that he's going to begin pointing his finger at places in your life where relationships need healed, where commitments need to be redefined, where things that are important need to be preserved, where family needs to be treasured, and where churches need to be communities of faith, because Vineville Baptist Church is to be a beacon of hope at the corner of life and faith. A beacon of hope, which means we've got to be real. We've got to be real people. We can't brush under the carpet all those things that affect one another, because there are real problems, and people hurt, and people fail, and people have troubles, and they don't need somebody telling them what they ought to be. They need somebody loving them to life and to hope, surrounding them with blessing. Because unless I miss my reading of the Bible, every time I turn around, God is blessing people. He blessed Abram, and he sent him out in the world and said, I will bless you, and you are to be a blessing. And he came to Jesus before Jesus had ever done anything worthy of being blessed at his baptism, and he said, you are my beloved son whom I treasure. You are my beloved son whom I treasure. And it was out of that blessing that he then went out to begin his ministry of seeing God's kingdom created in the world. I don't have a watch on me, so I'm sure somebody will tell me when my time is up. I'm just surprised somebody didn't bring some of that fresh bread over here and leave it under my nose to kind of hasten it. In closing,